you praise. In Jesus' name, amen. I love having Big Mike carry Little Mike around while he was serving, because it just verifies the fact that you're never too young to serve the Lord. Right? Now, you've been in a church, that's got to be a record for the youngest servant to help collect the offering at church. See? Yeah, you're an apprentice, Mike. That's the way it's supposed to be. So that's always good. As we begin today, we've been talking about, you know, overcoming the pain and overcoming our past and the pain from our past. We've talked about a lot of different ideas and subject matters. And as we begin today, I want to give you just a little time to ponder. Think back. How many of you have had broken relationships in your life? Come on, be honest, you know. That's one of those things that is that common denominator that binds us all together. And some of those may be recent. Some of them have been in the years past. And I don't want you to ponder on it too much, because sometimes when you start thinking about broken relationships from the past, we begin to experience the emotions that come with broken relationships of the past. And my goal here isn't to get you all fired up and angry before you leave church, because you remember what that person did to you. Okay? I grant that's a real possibility. That's not the idea. And I don't want you to, you know, be replaying those tapes and getting all, you know, freaked out. That's not the point. But I do want us to realize that as we've been going through overcoming the things of our past, looking at that very specific viewpoint on Ephesians, that God has some things to say for us. And because they have tremendous, relationships have just tremendous power. And first observation I have is that few things in all of life compare with the satisfaction and the joy and the connectedness that comes when we're deeply loved and when we're loving deeply in an authentic, meaningful relationship, right? I mean, there's nothing in life that compares to, you know, when you're loving deeply and you're being loved deeply in an authentic relationship. Nothing compares to the joy and satisfaction on earth. You know, the money doesn't compare. The joy of success doesn't compare. When you're in a relationship that is authentic and meaningful and deep and all of that's going on, I mean, it's sort of like the Mount Everest of life, right? I mean, it doesn't get any better than that. And nothing else compares to it in terms of human, of what we experience. By contrast, few things in life can hurt us as badly or as deeply as the wounds and the sorrow and the alienation that comes from broken relationships. And as we get to the end of chapter 3 in Ephesians, I want us to understand that. You know, I want us to look at how do we get past that. How do you deal with the pain of broken relationships? Because no matter how old you get, they happen. No matter how old you are, if you have those things in your past, it doesn't. You ever notice it doesn't take much to trigger that? You know, if you have a broken relationship in your past that causes you pain or causes you anger or causes you sorrow, you know, it just takes the littlest thing. You can be in a whole new relationship, right? You can be in a whole new relationship going a whole different direction and something will happen and it'll trigger that from your past. And it's like we don't just remember it, we re-experience it. So all that hurt and pain that we think were past just attack again and again and again. Well, I want you to understand something. That when you place yourself in faith in Jesus Christ and you experience rebirth and are born again, and God not only forgives you, but moves inside of your life through His Holy Spirit, that He knows every pain and hurt that you've ever experienced at the hands of someone else. And He also knows every pain and hurt that you have caused in the life of someone else through broken relationships. And what I want us to understand is God, knowing that and knowing our hearts, wants us to be whole in Him. He wants us to be moving forward in life in the power of grace, in the power of His Spirit, in the power and love. We have a tendency to look at those things that happen to us, and He knows what's behind our past, He knows what's our hurt, and He knows our feelings, and He knows that sometimes we want to bury those so deep that we don't ever want to go there again. We don't want to ever go down that path of relationships or of vulnerability or opening up to people, because we've been hurt so many times and so deeply and so often by so many that we build up a wall and we're not going to allow ourselves ever to be hurt again. And I want you to know that God, in the power of His Spirit, and in the power of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, wants to deal with that wall that you've built up. He has a prescription for broken relationships. And we find it in, of all places, a doxology. Let me read you this passage, and then we'll come back and look at it in a little deeper detail as we go through it. In Ephesians chapter 3, starting in verse 14, he says, "For this reason I kneel before the Father, from whom His whole family in heaven and on earth derived its name. I pray that out of His glorious riches He might strengthen you with power through His Spirit in your inner man, inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the saints, with the church, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of the fullness of God. Now to Him who was able to do immeasurably more than we could ask or imagine, according to His power that is at work within us, to Him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever." That's a powerful benediction, isn't it? That's a powerful doxology. And I want us to understand that in that doxology, as He deals with that, He gives us some keys, some ideas on how to deal with broken relationships. He really does. I mean, how does He start it off? He starts off with this whole idea. And this is one of the great passages of the New Testament. We have with a context. You know, the very first verses, of words of those verses, what were they? The very first verses were four. This reason. For what reason? Why would he say that? See, he doesn't just get to the end of the chapter. Paul's not writing in chapters. You know, I'm just about done with chapter 3, so I'm going to put a doxology in here. No, he says, for this reason. The reason has to do with what happened in chapter 3 and at the end of chapter 2. The reason that he's praying, the reason he kneels before the Father, because he's thinking back of the thousands of years of hostility between the Jew and the Gentile. Remember, we talked about overcoming the pain of prejudice. And that hatred that exists between people groups and between different groups and different things. And he goes back and deals with that. And he deals with then, last week in chapter 3, he dealt with the unjust suffering that we experience. And he says, because of the differences between people and the suffering it causes and the unjust suffering it causes and the fact that God is what brings people together and breaks down those walls and heals those hearts and overcomes that prejudice. For that reason, he says, I kneel before the Father.
I like the word when he says, I kneel before the Father. There's an implication in it. He's not particularly telling us that, okay, every time you pray, you have to get on your knees and kneel. But that's not a bad idea every once in a while. You see, what he's dealing with here
is he's dealing with this. He's just dealt with the pain of unjust suffering that he's experienced as a prisoner for Christ. He's a prisoner for Christ, and he's been beaten, he's been whipped, he's gone through all of this suffering, he's unjustly been locked up, and he's suffering for that, and it's beyond what he can take. And when that pain is beyond what you can deal with, for this reason, I kneel before the Father. See what Paul is doing? God, this is more than I can take. That's what he's doing. How many times have we been there in our life? The pain we're in is more than we can take. I don't know. He's saying, I kneel because I realize, it's like Paul saying, I kneel before the Father because I realize I can't handle this one, God. You know? For this reason, I realize I can't handle this. I'm going to the Father, he says, and I'm going to kneel because I'm going to recognize my inability to make this work. He's going to recognize as he kneels before the Father in this physical presentation of humility that, God, I can't make this work. You want to have a key to healing broken hearts and past relationships, and you want to have the same key, not only unlock the healing of the past, but unlock the potential of fulfilling relationships right now and wherever you are right now and from this point on? It's understanding that you can't do this by yourself. That you need God's help and you need God's strength. And he says, I'm praying, he says, to the Father from whom every family in heaven on earth derives its name. I'm praying to the God that is the Father, the creator of everyone, that has all of these resources. Everybody derives from this. Angels and galaxies and tribes and nations. He is the author of us all. He's saying, I realize that I can't handle this, but you, God, are the creator of human relationships. Everybody gets their name from you. I can't handle this. But God, you can. That's what he's saying. He's talking about a God who understands that all relationships, regardless of people, regardless of their background, regardless of their race, regardless of their past, regardless of their baggage, that God understands those dynamics and has unlimited resources. So he says, I'm going to do this. I'm going to pray to the Father. Why? Because prayer is our passport to God's perspective. Prayer is the passport that brings us into God's presence and into his perspective. It takes us from the blame game. It takes us from the place where all we can do is go, I'm hurting. How many of you, I'm almost afraid to ask this question. But there's a great scene in it. There's a movie with Bill Murray. I think Adam is probably, he's smiling, he probably knows which movie this is. I had this all worked out in my mind and now I can't remember the name of the stinking movie. What About Bob? How many of you have ever seen What About Bob? There's a scene in the movie where he's just harassing this poor psychologist to death, bugging him wherever he goes. And there's a scene where he's laying in his bed. He's got his tissues and his tears and he's on the phone and he's just crying out, I need, I need, I need. Huh? Bob, what about? But that's where he was. And that's sometimes where we are. We get so overcome with the pain of broken hearts and broken relationships that we're just sort of there. Okay? And there's nothing particularly wrong with being at that point, but there's a real problem with choosing to stay there. And God, in his great love, the one who's the author of all human relationships, Paul says, I pray to the Father, I kneel before the Father, because he's the one that can take us from, doesn't take us to that place. but he can take us from that place. Jeremiah 33:3 says, call to me. It says, call to me and I'll tell you great and mighty things that you don't know. God knows more than we do. He understands more than we do. David in Psalm 73, verse 25 says, whom have I in heaven but you? And besides you, I desire nothing on earth. My heart and my flesh may fail, but you are the strength of my heart, and you are my portion forever. That there comes a place when we have to turn to God. And we don't. We really don't. Because most of the time, most broken relations, somewhere along the line, have you and have me not only expecting, but most relationships have us demanding that another human being come through for us and love us in a way that is meaningful all the time. And when they don't come through for us and love us in a way that is meaningful for us, we feel hurt and rejected. Let me give you some good news and bad news. The bad news is, there's not a human being on earth that can do that for you. The good news is, God can. The good news is, there are people who can love you, but they can't fulfill the need like God can. So Paul says, I'm going to go before the Lord. He says, I talk to the Father. I talk to the Father. And I'll tell you what, as a pastor, for someone asked me this yesterday, I was doing a funeral service. And I got done with the funeral service, and there were some people in the funeral service that now live up in Grass Valley used to come to the church, and we all came up and were talking, and someone happened to ask me, you know, how long have you been a pastor? And I said, how long is eternity? No. I said, I started my first youth ministry in 1971. You do the math, it makes me tired. And one of the things I'll tell you about as a pastor for all these years and doing a lot of counseling at different times, when people are really hurting, even Christians, it seems like the last place most Christians are going is to God. When I ask people in really difficult situations, really tangled work situations, really heartbreaking home situations, and I ask them honestly and not just judgmentally, are you really talking to God? Are you really in the Scriptures? Are you really giving your heart to the Lord and coming to Him? Are you just trying to deal with this? And most of the time they say, no, they're not. I mean, they're praying, you know, because they're just crying out. They're not really being open and honest with God other than, you know, what about Bob? I need. You know, we'll pay money to counselors. We'll call pastors. We'll call friends. We'll sit in coffee shops. We'll bemoan it. We'll blame it. But the last thing most of us do are honestly and openly talking to God about it. Really talking to God, pouring out our heart to God. Really telling Him you can't handle this and really being open about our hearts. We can't be open with each other. We, most of us, can't even be open with ourselves. And if we're going to deal with this honestly before God, we have to really start there. He's the first step, not the last step. And we need to be talking to God. Because what does it say in Romans? That God will work for good through all things? Work for good through all things? He doesn't cause this, you know? I mean, I've been reading about studying for this, and, you know, I did have those people, this is all part of the sovereignty of God, and He's allowed this to happen to you. No! Your deepest heartbreak and pain is not part of God's plan. It's a result of sin, and sinful people, and hurtful people, and people who don't understand how this works. We've been going through our marriage and our family, our love and respect seminar on Friday, on Thursday nights, because we're trying to learn how this is supposed to work. And if you don't do it the right way, it is going to not work. It's going to cause pain. And that is not God's will. But God, in His loving grace, will take you at your point of pain and not only begin the healing process, He can use that to help you grow and to build. So we need to go to God. Start off with God. That's the idea. Step one in God's prescription is talk to God. Step two is ask God for the inner strength to yield rather than to resist His work in your life. You know, that's what He says, isn't it? I pray to God that you'll be strengthened in the inner man. That's sort of a weird prayer, isn't it? That's not normally how we pray when we're hurting. You know, usually when we're hurting, we pray, God, I want that girl back in my life. God, bring that man back in my life, but change him. Make him better. Make him more like me. God, I want him back in my life, but I want him to be a girl. And that's the feminist movement, isn't it? The perfect man is a girl. No. No. But a good man in Christ, powerful thing. See? Most of our prayers are about that. We're either asking for God to heal the dummy and bring him back, or make him pay. Right? Make me feel good. Heal me. I don't want to hurt, but I want him to hurt, or I want her to hurt. See? That's how we pray. But that's not the idea. Paul says, he prays that you'll be strengthened by His Holy Spirit in your inner being, that God will strengthen you from the inside. Praying to the Father because He wants to heal. He wants to bring you to that point. We're praying, God, make everything work out okay. You know, give me a quick fix. God, take care of it. Make everything better. We want to pull that hurting too and stick it under our pillow so that we wake up in the morning and God has made it all better and He's given us money. But He doesn't work that way. He says, he prays it will be strengthened, inner strength, the power from the inside. In verse 16, I pray that out of His glorious riches, translation, God has unlimited resources, out of His unlimited resources, that Christ might strengthen you with power through His Spirit. You get that? That is so powerful. So that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. He strengthened you with power. Why? Because God longs to make your heart His home. I love what Diane did off the top of her head with our communion meditation. God wants to make your heart His home. He wants to make your life His home. And most of us will go, oh yeah, well I accepted Jesus and I prayed the prayer Jesus lives in my heart. Well, really? You know what that means? I want you to picture this. It comes from a little booklet called My Heart, Christ's Home by a guy named Robert Munger. You know, you got a picture getting up in the morning and you go out to the kitchen, get your coffee or your tea. Christ is your home. You have to picture Him sitting at your table waiting to meet with you. Maybe He has some things for you for the day to get you ready. You need to talk to Him. If your heart is His home and you get up in the morning, come downstairs or go to the kitchen to get some coffee, He's sitting right there. He's right there waiting to meet with you. How many of you have time to meet with the Lord in the morning? Or you've gotten up so late, you don't even have time to crack open this Bible and see what God may have to say to you, or have any time to say anything to Him other than, oh God, I'm late, help me get there in time. Okay? God is going to live in your house. He's going to live in your home. He's going to live in your heart. You better get up a few minutes early and have a little time with Him. He's going to live in your heart when you go to work, whatever that work is. He's right there with you. Does He like what you do? I'm not talking about the kind of work you do, whatever skill you have. But He pleased with you. Are you doing that as a believer? Is He part of it? You come home at night and you have dinner Are you grateful? Is he sitting at the table with you? You go into your family room and you turn on the television. He's sitting right there with you. Your heart, his home. Lord, okay, we're watching this movie. Lord, it's PG-13. You might want to close your eyes for this part. Is he going to be comfortable in your family room when you're watching television? You see, when he says he wants to dwell in your hearts through his power and his love, there's nothing hidden. What about that closet? Well, you have all the bad stuff hidden. If his heart is your home, he dwells there too. See what that means? Paul says, I'm praying. He says, I'm praying for you. I'm praying for you because this is where God wants to dwell. God longs to make your heart his home in everything that means. He wants to dwell there. He wants to live there. He wants to be part of that. He wants to experience that. And we need to see that. We need to be open. We mess this relationship stuff up. We need to first talk to God. Kneel before God. God, I don't know how to handle this. Pray for yourself in this. Say, God, Paul said, I pray that you'll be strengthened by the very Spirit of God and the power of God in your inner being. God, I'm going to need your strength if I'm going to deal with this. Number three, ask God to help you grasp and experience His love in the midst of your pain. Somehow we just jumped in the deep water, didn't we? But that's what he says, right? He says, I pray, being rooted and established in love, you may have power together with all the saints, and some of the versions say with the church, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep the love of Christ is. That in the point of your pain, when you can't handle it, and you start opening up to God and you want God to be able to deal with this, God wants to give you power and strength. The author, the person that has all the resources in creation, wants to give you His power in the inside, from the inside out. He doesn't want to magically heal and solve your problem. You're going to have to work through that pain, but He wants to give you strength from the inside out to deal with that. And He wants you to experience the depth and the width and the height and the breadth of His love, even in the midst of that pain. Ah, that is incredible. In order that you may be filled to the measure of the fullness of Christ. I want to tell you something. It's hard to hear. But you will never know the depth and height and breadth of the love of God. You will never know the fullness of God until you know that in the point of your pain. So we need to grasp that. That's where God wants to dwell. That's where God wants to live. That's where He wants to be. And it has a context. This has a context. This is not about you being a Lone Ranger Christian out there on your own and God wants to do all of this just all by yourself. It doesn't work that way. You'll notice with all the saints, and later on he says, and may God give glory in the church. He says the only way you're going to experience this is in the body of Christ, because it's not only Christ in you, the hope of glory, you're in the body of Christ. The church, the dwelling place of God. And that's not this building or any church building. It is the heart of the believer. The heart of the saint. The heart of the saints together is where Christ dwells. In other words, you can't do this on your own. You need God. And you need other believers beside you. That's why sometimes I have a hard time controlling myself when I talk to people, you know. Some of them say,
Hey, you're a pastor. I'm a believer. I'm a Christian. Really? What church you go to? Well, I don't go to church. You know, I don't really believe in organized religion. Okay. Dude, you know, quit lying to me. You're one or the other. You can be a Christian and be in church and be in the body of Christ, or you're not any of it. Okay? We got to get that. We got to get that right. The devil has sold us a bill of goods that you being a Christian is just about you and Jesus, and you just Jesus is going to live in your heart and you're fine. No, that's not how it works. When you're baptized into Jesus Christ and you share His death, burial, and resurrection, and you are raised to new life, you are raised into the body of the church, the body of Christ, which is all of us. We become family. We become a unit. We become something that God is powerful in, and He is much more powerful in us than He is in just me. And the greatest way you experience the love of God is through the hands and the hearts of those around you in the church. We need to grasp that. It has content. It's powerful. And it's evidenced by the cross. That sounds good. And then lastly, he says, to expect God to answer your prayers in a manner beyond your wildest dreams. Do you get this benediction? This last statement of his prayer? Now to him, do you think of God this way, who is able to do immeasurably more than we can all ask or imagine? That all of us, not just any one of us. Remember the first Star Wars movie? How many remember the first Star Wars movie? They're in the Death Star. You know. They've been captured. They found a little control room they're hiding in. Suddenly R2-D2 is working on the computer, and you know, and they start and C-3PO starts saying, He found her, you know, and then Luke jumps in, and we gotta go rescue the princess. That's what guys do. We rescue the princess. Ladies, you are the princess. You ain't the queen. And I'm not the king. There's only one king, is God. The guy's job is to rescue the princess. And he tries to convince Han to rescue the princess, and Han doesn't want any part of it. Remember that line? He kneels down beside Han and he goes, "She's rich. You can have reward beyond your imagination." Remember his line? "I can imagine a lot." There's the heart of sinful man right there. Paul says to him who's doing immeasurably more than you, we, that all of us together can ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. If you can, in your point of pain, actually come and be honest to God and open up to him and usher yourself into his presence, he can begin to deal with that, and he will empower you from the inside out through the strength of his Spirit in the context of the church. And he will help you experience at your very point of worst pain the height and the breadth and the depth and the width of the love of God. It is so important. Because you need to have that love to know this power. And when that happens, you can expect him to answer in ways that you can't imagine. That's how it works, isn't it? There's so many of us that can tell that story. You pray to God, and you know how it is. We think we work it out. God, I want you to take care of this problem for me, and then we detail it out. And this is what I want you to do. A and B, and then we have this detailed plan. God's going to answer the prayer. It's going to look like this. What's that old saying? You want to make God laugh? Tell him your plans. God's going to act in his wisdom, not yours. I mean, after all, your wisdom got you in this mess, right? And you're going to dictate to God how to heal it? Got to make him chuckle and angry at the same time, you know? God has more than you, than all of us together can immeasurably ask or imagine. But it all goes back to verse 14.
before Paul gets here, he says, for this reason, I kneel before the Father. I can't handle this. But I pray that God will strengthen you from the inside. And that, you know, right there at that point of pain, you will know that the depth of the grace of God. He said, you're already rooted and established in it. He just wants you to know the fullness of it. When you know the fullness of God's love, you can have the fullness of the presence of God. And what God can do in your life is take you in places you would have never imagined. You would have never imagined. Never imagined. When I met Kathy, we didn't date for a long time. Didn't think of that. Didn't even go there. Because I was at a point of my deepest hurt, my deepest pain I ever experienced. I was a pastor. It was a pretty good-sized church, too. Big church. Pastor. I was a dummy. I was a pastor. Once had this family come and they were going to sing in a Sunday night service. And had my family there, my wife and Eric and Sarah introducing them. You know, this is my wife. This is my son. This is my daughter. Guy looks at me and goes, dude, don't they have names? Not a problem. Came to fruition after 11 years, 11 months, and 11 days. I left. And I was a pastor. I failed at the most important relationship you could have. Fortunately, I was part of the church that did not shoot their wounded. And they came to me, the elders came to me and said, no, Pastor, we don't understand everything. But we do understand how human relationships work and don't work. You're the pastor. We're here for you. You know, you're the pastor. We'll pray. We'll pray this works out. If it doesn't, one way or the other, you're the pastor. You know how rare that is? You know how rare that is? In the midst of my darkest pain and rejection, and it took years for me to come out of that depression, there was this woman in the church. And there came to be a time when one of the elders, chairman of the elders, John and Eleanor Kincaid, they were great people. And Eleanor comes up to me one day and says, have you ever thought about taking Kathy out? Chairman of the elders, you ever set up by the chairman of the elders? It's freaky. But I want you to understand the difference of 11 years, 11 months, and 11 days of this time. And walking on eggshells, and always being afraid that you're going to say the wrong thing, or facing the assumption that you have to know what is needed. You're never going to be told what is wanted or needed, but you have to know. And if you don't know, you have failed. 11 years. And I want to tell you, that last verse, that he will do immeasurably more than you could ever think or ask or imagine, God did for me in her heart. At my point of deepest pain. If he can do that for me, he can do that for you. You don't have to change and be right with the person you're with. It can change. It can change. But it starts out with where you kneel. It starts out with where you kneel. Most of us
in those situations kneel with our shovel and our weapon and dig a foxhole to go to battle. And we're going to get hurt more than early on. There has to be a point where you kneel before the Father and say, God, I can't do this. I can't do it. I can't do it. I need your power, your strength, your compassion, and I need your greatest amount of love to meet me at my point of deepest pain. And when that happens, the unimaginable can take place. But it won't take place until you're there. God can heal the pain of broken relationships. Broken relationships. You can have a relationship that is fulfilling to everybody. We've been studying on Monday nights back to Wild at Heart, the boot camp series. And we've been defining biblical masculinity, the fierce warrior, the bold adventurer, the passionate lover. I didn't know what those things were until God introduced somebody into my life who would help me be those things. I don't have to be nice anymore. I can be a warrior and be adventurous. God can heal that pain if you'll take that first step. But that's the step. Step. When you're humble before the Father, Scripture says, humble yourself before the Father, He will lift you up. He will lift you up. He will lift you up. That's what God has. That's His. This is ironclad stuff. This is written in the stone of God's promise for us. You just have to meet Him at that point. That's what it takes. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for being with us this morning. I ask Your grace. Because this is all about grace. This is all about grace. I don't know anybody that doesn't have pain from broken relationships and broken hearts at some point in their life. We've all gone through that. That's not the issue. The issue is how we respond. If we're Christians, we're already rooted in your love. But you don't want us to know just the roots. You want us to be full of You, full of Your Spirit and Your power. Most of that only comes from You. But You will help us with that by bringing those people into our life. That special one person that can do that for you. And the church and the context. Father, there are people here today that need to at that point of their deepest pain, let it go. Turn to You. You're going to let go of that. Turn to You. You can do more than you can ask for that. We have to come to You with open hands. With open heart. Because the open hands get filled. The open hearts get healed. The open lives get you to minister and help them. Bless us there. We pray in Jesus' name.